Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Goodbye, Mr. President, and hello, Mr. President. Donald Trump is a chapter for the history books. Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. The inauguration is this Wednesday, and a lot of things will probably change. And there is a new package on the table, $1.9 trillion. Enough to talk about. This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Eddin Boumidi. He's the head of markets at IG. And the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years of the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And Peter, we see you are on the media balcony today. So good to see you guys. How are you?
Hi, Peter. Hi, Manuel.
Well, I'm wonderful. I'm glad to be here.
Peter, it's an important week for the U.S. history. We can say Joe Biden will be the next president. Are a lot of things changing now also for Wall Street? And what do you think about the package of $1.9 trillion?
So I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the question. I also appreciate the transition. While the transition to our new president is not happening in a particularly calm, organized fashion, it's clear that that is not having a big effect on the market. Obviously, we are talking once the invasion of the Capitol has been done, and that I think is putting everyone in a state of anxiety, physically, emotionally, spiritually, but not particularly affecting the markets. Okay, the new administration, we've seen the market rally since November 3rd, the day of the election, and the more and more we get clarity about Mr. Biden being the next president of the United States. And now, as we see an actual discussion of economic policies and plans in place, I believe the market is responding in a positive fashion. As we've spoken before, the most important thing that can come out of the transition to a new president is honesty, clarity, transparency about the virus and dealing with the vaccine. Obviously, the rollout of the vaccine has been completely been poorly handled, as the administration has handled the virus all throughout the last year. But the health of the consumer is the key to getting the economy back on track. So while Mr. Biden is proposing a $1.9 trillion or whatever the amount is, package deal, which gives a lifeline to small business. It gives money and it gives a plan for to engage our army and our armed forces to set up staging for giving the vaccine. We are actually going to turn Yankee Stadium into a vaccine distribution center and give money to companies to do a faster rollout of the vaccine. The key is to get the community healthy once again. We are seeing the world, the global scene, is being decimated by this virus. It's not just the United States. Apparently, over the last couple of days, we're seeing a bit of a spike come out of China, which is what affected the market sell-off a little bit on Friday afternoon, even though Monsieur Salah believes it's a little bit of a historic mid-January sell-off. There are still situations and an evolving story on a daily basis. So this money, I believe, will be spent in a fashion that will achieve its goal, which is to set up the logistics correctly about the vaccine, get it into the people's arms, to make it, produce it, distribute it, and then put it in people's arms. The volatility of the markets is an ever-evolving story as this thing unwinds. But we have, once again, the virus, the volatility, and the vaccine. This story is an ongoing tale. So the health of the consumer, obviously the markets are telling us whether they are trading at these record highs because they are forward-looking or whether they are thrilled about the administration and the lifeline they're going to give to the economy and the markets, or just the fact that people with money are involved in the market, The bottom line is, until we are able to get a handle on this virus, which as of today is at its worst, darkest point in 12 months, right? Around the time you and I are speaking now is a year, exactly a year, since the first inkling we had that this virus did exist. We don't need to waste any time trying to figure out where it came from and who is responsible. Right now, we have one goal, globally, together, to get a handle on the virus, the new strain, the old strain, to get the vaccine produced and in the arms of people, and then for the U.S., with the new administration, to get a lifeline to people to be able to preserve what part of the economy we can so that we can continue to grow and be healthy.
Yes, definitely, Peter. One thing, you are on the Wall Street, you're on the stock market itself, right? So we have seen a really strong positive start in the year. We had a nice Santa Claus rally, which lasts, of course, till the first two trading days in the year. We had the good positive first five days effect, which is also really positive. Those two actually signing, showing that historically we could have a really positive year 2021, if maybe the whole month January will also be positive. So getting a bit of the sentiment on the stock exchange, what is the sentiment on the Wall Street right now, beginning of this year? Are the people more bullish or are they more pessimistic? What can you give us as a wire live from Wall Street?
You know what? I think it's sort of super exciting. You know, for me, I'm always trying to get the underground feeling of what people are thinking. You know, I watch what all people way smarter than me think and what they're doing with their money and whatnot. And even though there's been this paradox of what's been happening with the virus and the volatility and the vaccine and with the markets, and as we've seen, they are trading in a state of bifurcation because the market, I've always been thinking, when will the market catch up with the reality of the global situation in the pandemic? And the bottom line is what I'm feeling coming out of this election and the end of the year, the Santa Claus rally coming into January, is a sense of positivity that even though we do have so many obstacles left, and it is going to get worse before it gets better relative to the vaccine, that the market is in fact a forward-looking instrument, right? And at the end of the day, this is not going to last forever. And there will be a life on the other side of this. And when it does, look at the Russell. You always make me think about the Russell Small Cap Index, which is sort of a testimonial to what people think about the future. Right? Buying value, right? Yes, a lot of these stocks are trading at crazy multiples, right, to next year's earnings with not even clarity on what next year's earnings are going to be. But there is a sense that, you know, we get that sense of let's buy America. You know, we have a new administration coming in, one that's more hell-bent on getting a handle on the virus, honesty, transparency, you know, one that's going to put out a lifeline to the economy. If we can look with a strategy, and I know hope is not a strategy, but if we can look towards the future, that in whether it's 8 months or in a year, right, that we have the vaccine, you know, there's a new vaccine coming out, Johnson & Johnson announced it yesterday or a couple of days ago, that only needs one injection, that for storage can be stored for months in a regular refrigerator, and the logistics of the distribution are grand. Johnson & Johnson is an incredible company, right? And they've promised that by end of the year, we could have 1 billion vaccines on the market. So if we're able to have enough forward thinking to think within 8 months or a year, we've got the world vaccinated and we've got enough of a lifeline from the new administration to support small business, and that people start crawling out of the hole that they've been in globally, you know, and back into the world, and that we start to see people to travel again and we start to see people live again, right? We've actually done, as a world global population, pretty well, if you think about it, okay? Historically, this was not World War II. This was not the Nazi Germany. This was not so many of the incredible crises we've seen in the past, right? Where it took generations to outgrow the trauma and the economic implications of what happened. I think the world, you know, I sit around with my family now. It's been a year since I got sick, since the virus came along, since we have all been sheltered in place. And I think net, net, we've done pretty good. I know I'm going a little crazy, and I'm sure we all are, because we've been alone. We've had that isolation. We've had to reinvent ourselves. But as a global population, at the end of the day, I mean, we may see a couple of crazies come out of the woodwork when the doors of your apartment buildings open and people go out. But as a globe, as a country and a world, we've adapted pretty well to this new norm, so that once we get back to any inkling that we're going to have some level of normalcy and we'll be able to travel again and do business again, right? I think that the people, that a lot of people over the last year, some people have been traumatized by this, and obviously we're going to see that happen going forward. But there have been a lot of people, I see it in myself, who have really sort of reevaluated what the future is going to be, and they're building new businesses that we don't see yet. And so once this really opens up and we get a handle on it, I think we're going to, as a world, as a nation, as a continent, as a globe, we're just going to explode in so many ways. It's like when you you spin the wheels of your car, right? And for a while you're just doing wheelies, and then you engage it into drive, and boom, the car takes off. Once we get that green light, it may be a year before it happens. I think it's going to be explosive in so many ways, because people will have been held back for so long that the excitement and the joy and the gratitude will be reflected in the economy.
Right.
Peter, the earnings season is ahead. What do you expect of the US companies? How will be the results? Will we see like a bad dip in the numbers?
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, you know, we saw it come in the beginning of last year, how a lot of the companies were not able to give guidance, how their earnings are troublesome. You know, it's, you know, for me, earnings season and the numbers they come up with sometimes just don't make a lot of sense in my world. You know, the fact is that, you know, we saw a spike we saw a little bit of a lowering in unemployment. We saw a little bit of a spike up in the third quarter of jobs, of people still engaged, you know, people going back to work, right? At the peak of I can't say the peak of the virus, because we're in the peak of the virus. But I think when we saw the largest, we were down 40 million jobs at one point. And then we drew it down to 14. And now I think it's about 7 million to 10 million jobs have been lost. I'm not clear on that number, because a lot of people have given up attempting to be in the workforce, so that number is questionable. But we just saw recently, last week, a spike up in the unemployment figures. So it's so hard to get a sense. When I walk around the streets of New York, I'm seeing businesses that are all boarded up. I'm seeing a state of economy that looks troublesome to me, you know, as a businessman and human being, right? And so my fear is, you know, I don't know where they come up with these numbers. You know, it's hard to get a sense on what the next quarter's earnings are going to look like. We are now in the darkest part of the winter, the darkest part of the virus. 4,000 people a day are dying. That's one 9/11 every day. 200,000 people a day are being infected. 23 million people have been infected, and we've lost almost 400,000 have passed away. Souls have passed away in the United States. So, you know, it's really hard to get a sense on how businesses are doing, right? Brick and mortar is obviously in trouble. Hospitality is in trouble. small business is in trouble. Airlines and energy. Energy is sort of, if you look at oil, obviously the Saudis did a bit of a cut, and that, but the demand is not there. So I if their numbers are good, I'm not sure I really believe them. I'm concerned about the rollout of the economy that's going to be still another 8 months, right? We need to acknowledge, even though we have all been jaded by the amount of deaths, the amount of infections, and the amount of lockdown, you guys in Europe are in a new state of lockdown. In the United States, our healthcare system is about to crumble under the weight of all these new deaths and virus, right? So it's hard to know, are people getting back on planes? Not yet. I mean, perhaps enough to make, you know, it's a matter of not where we're looking, it's a matter of where we came from. Maybe it's not as bad as it was. Maybe it's going to get worse again. So I'm not clear about it. It's sort of a long-winded answer to your question, Manuel, but it's I'm concerned about the reality of the earnings number, whether they're forward-looking, they're backward-looking, whether they're just about a matter of hope or whatnot. But I don't see an economy that's turning in a positive way yet. We are in the midst of the winter. We're in the worst part of the virus. So
we are still in a high volatility environment. We have a huge uncertainty. But markets are pulling higher. Cryptocurrencies or even stocks, indices, everything is going higher. And I see some traders who lose money, of course, in that time because we have a huge volatility. And something what I always see is the fear of missing out and the greed that the people have. So a question to somebody who's really experienced, saying, how can we handle this greed? If something is increasing 30% in one day, why should I maybe step in? Or why should I even have the question, is there still something to do with? So can you help us in this really important question?
Absolutely. I appreciate the question. The question really taps into something which has been my mission, and we've spoken about it before, which is the education of the investment community to become a responsible trader and investor. Okay? We are in unusual times. Unusual times call for unusual measures. We are seeing cryptocurrency go from 20 to 42,000 down to 33,000 back to 39,000. We are seeing companies like Peloton and Zoom and IPOs that will double, triple, quadruple in one day's trading and then will revert back to the price they were days before that. So we've also seen a massive influx of brand new traders. I'm not degrading them, but they are immature and at some level irresponsible.
Correct.
Getting to the markets when the market, fear of missing out, FOMO, is not a trading strategy. Okay? Hope is not a trading strategy. Technical analysis is a trading strategy in times of volatility. It's not even fundamentals anymore. We are still in a mode where volatility, liquidity, right, and a brand new, immature, irresponsible, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but I'm being critical of people who pay $42,000 for crypto because they are afraid of missing out. So I beg people, right, to really because yes, everybody looks like a rock star when the market is going up, when individual stocks are going up and they bought some. But it's a matter of ringing the cash register, not turning a winning trade into a losing trade. Now, look, there's two different environments. There are long-term investors and there are traders. Long-term investor, if you're buying it and holding it, we know historically, you being one of the great students of historic data, is that markets net over time go up. So that's fine. You also see stocks that have been so overbought. Relative strength indexes are at record levels. You know, that fear of missing out is become a strategy where people are buying things at 2, it goes to 60 and back to 3, right? And so history tells us that you know, it's not a matter of how much you make, it's right when you sit down at the blackjack table and you put down $1,000 and an hour and a half later you've had four cigarettes and three martinis and you're up 5,000, and then when you run into your friend a half an hour later and you look very depressed and he said, what's the matter? I saw you an hour ago, you were up $5,000. He says, by the time I left the table, I was down $4,000, right? So, you know, it's a really important at this point in history to tell people, first of all, to learn about technical analysis. That quiets all the chatter, all of the following the herd, right, about what to buy. By the time you're hearing about buying something, it's already seen its best moment, right? So you need to do your homework, learn technical analysis. That quiets the chatter of all the BS in the marketplace. And also, in response to your question about fear of missing out, to quote one of our good friends, David Green, that when you're getting into a trade, your first purchase of it, it should be your smallest amount, okay?
Right.
So that you buy, if you're going to buy, you have to have a plan and a strategy. If you plan on investing and buying 500 shares, you don't never want to chase a bad position or what we call averaging into a stock that's going the wrong way. So that your first influx into the stock should be 100 shares. And then as it goes higher, you buy, or down, you buy 200 and you buy more. So you're creating yourself, you're not chasing a bad average price, you're adding into a better average price. So
right.
I beg people to do their homework, to not ever fear of missing out. The opportunities in the marketplace, well, if one thing we've learned over the last 10 months is there are so many opportunities. If you missed out on one opportunity, there will be another. You know, if you didn't buy Bitcoin at 42,000 and you waited 24 hours, it's like any kind of an urge. You know, like if I have an urge for ice cream and I eat a gallon of ice cream, in 20 minutes, I'm going to regret it. But if I just have one spoon and I walk around the block and I have another spoon, I'm a much happier guy. So do the homework, learn technical analysis, you know, and always pause when you decide you need to get into something, right? And that's the best thing I can do, is you need to educate yourself. I'm so happy that there are tens of millions of people getting into the market. You know, all of us, the three of us, our markets are our lives. We eat, drink, sleep, dream the markets. So to be able to have millions of new prospects in the market is very exciting. But what we don't want to do, and history tells us, that probably about 70% of people, new, freshmen, you know, to use an English word like freshmen in college, first-year students, freshmen, usually blow up their accounts within the first 3 months. And that's not what we want. We want people to be able to learn and stay in it for the long haul. So that's the best advice I can give.
Yes, so we have also homework to do. Peter, I wish you a very happy inauguration week.
I hope it's a safe one. I really do. I hope it's a safe one. Obviously, we are concerned about what's going on here in the United States, and we must mention it, you know, that you know, you guys are in Germany, we're here in the U.S. What we saw last week was unprecedented in our experience, at least going back to the Civil War. You guys have seen it more recently in times. But you know what? Look, we are educators. We are people who talk about markets. But you know what? I don't think there's any place for the amount of hatred and anger that's going on here in the States, and we see it all over the world. So I'm hoping that we can all come together and sit down and trade some stock and have some fun and have a new president.
Guys, thank you so much. Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, and Salah Edine Boumidi, head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you very much.
The Einstein of IG right there.
Great. Yeah, thank you guys, and thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk more information on IG.com. Thank you for this week. All the best.